Okay, we will, Bez Hashem, get to the demonstration of a moment of Shofar. And Rabbi Shabbos is going to help me out. I mean, actually, I'm going to help Rabbi Shabbos out. Because Billy, he's the hicker one over here. But I have to, you know, I can't just come in and go straight to Shofar blowing. And I'd like to first tell you the story about... First, let me tell you a story about the Myrna bird. The Myrna bird? We never talked about the Myrna bird. All right, okay, so let me tell you first a story about the Myrna bird. There, a lot of people, when it comes to the simanim, for example, you could really miss the ikker. You know, you can miss the ikker. The ikker is, you know, people get all involved in fish heads and things like that. So let me tell you a little story. It's a true story. It just never happened. There was once a fellow who worked for a very, very wealthy fellow. And this wealthy fellow decided that he heard about some Myrna bird. Myrna bird is a wonderful bird. And it's an unbelievable bird. He traveled far. He traveled far and wide. And I know why it's wide. He traveled far to get this Myrna bird. And he got there and he asked the person, how much does the Myrna bird cost? And they told him, this Myrna bird, it costs 5,000 rubles. 5,000 rubles, right? So he said, 5,000 rubles? He said, yeah, and there's only two left in the world, right? 5,000 rubles. He said, well, you know what? For a Myrna bird. So he went, and he bought the Myrna bird. This shamish, or whatever he was, came back to his wife, and he said, you know what? You know, this wealthy person, he's much smarter than me. You know, look at him. He runs this whole empire and everything. You know, and he understands the value of a Myrna bird. So you know, I'm going to sell the house. I'm going to sell the wagon. I'm going to sell the what's the name of that car? The Bugatti. What's it called? The fancy. What? You're laughing at me. What's the name of the car? Bugatti. I'm going to sell the Bugatti. Right. And I'm going to buy me a Myrna bird. She says, what? What are you crazy? What are you doing? What are you taking over? Who's smarter, me or him? Who knows how to make money more than me or him? He understands the value of Myrna. So he went, he sold everything, and the wagon, and everything. They still had to go around collecting a little. Right. And he finally got together 5,000 rubles. And he traveled far, which was also an expense, right, and wide. And when he got there, he told the person, how much does the Myrna bird cost? Said the Myrna bird, 5,000 rubles. It's okay, 5,000 rubles. So he took out the 5,000 rubles. He gave the 5,000 rubles. And he came back with this little Myrna bird, like in a box, and they have like little holes and stuff. Right? And it came back. He comes in that they don't have a house anymore, right? So he came into like, you know, because he sold the house, that was the whole thing. So he comes into his like his trailer, or, you know, the trailer home now, whatever.
Sandcastle.
Yeah, like those, you know, the like the pop up sukkahs or whatever. And he comes there. And he tells his wife, okay, look, we got it. She says, okay, now what? Look, we have only the trailer home, we don't have the car anymore. And he says, okay, he says, let's go. Bring out the frying pan, okay, and let's cook it, okay. So now he's a little puny bird, it doesn't look like a little, you know, dreadful looking thing with a little beak, and, you know, like those ears and whatever. And he starts to fry up the Myrna bird. Now the Myrna bird doesn't know what the world's going on over here. They're chopping carrots, you know, the whole matzav over here. Right. The Myrna bird is going like this, and you know, so finally, they finish cooking the Myrna bird, and so he tells my dear wife, right, here, I want you to have some first. You know, shalom bayis. So, you know, you take this, like, not that much meat on the Myrna bird. He's a little scrawny little thing, right? Little shroggy bird, as I, you know, the little, whatever, you know. I'm another guy named Shroggy, a bit scrawny, right? You know, you know, to do it, like, you know, like, he starts, like, trying to, like, get around the beak and, like, you know, like, whoa, the most dreadful thing I ever tasted. Oh, he goes and he tries some of it. Oh, Mama's driving, like, beak stuck in his teeth. And I go, Farla, Mama's just Farla. So he goes back to the head of this empire and whatever. And he says to him, I don't understand. What's the whole mile of the Smyrna bird? I just don't understand this. What are you talking about? So he says, well, the Smyrna bird's an incredible bird. He said, well, we just had it, me and my wife, and it tasted... You ate the Smyrna bird? You ate the Smyrna bird? He says, what do you mean? He says, no. The Smyrna bird is not for eating. The Smyrna bird has a beautiful voice. You ate the Smyrna bird. You spent 5,000 rubles and you ate the Smyrna bird. The Smyrna bird is for its beautiful voice. So, says the, I don't know about the Vilna Magid if he made this mashal. Whoever made the mashal. So he said, a lot of us, when it comes to the simonim, we're the same way. When it comes to the simonim, so, you know, we get all into like, you know, Rimon and pomegranate and Tamar, and I'd rather date a girl named Tamar than a girl named Taino, that's how you remember it. And, some of us would rather date a girl named Taino. But, you know, we get into the Iker is the bracha. The Iker is the song, is the shir, is the yirats into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. More so. The Iker is not, you know, some of us have an apple and honey, and we'll have a sweet new year, but we'll be bekas. Somebody will anger us. But it's more important to be a sweet new year than to have a sweet new year. That's number two, right? And there's other things that we need to know about Rosh Hashanah. Like, for example, the mashal, if you go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you'll have a sleepy year, they say, right? But on the other hand, if the entire afternoon you're going to be Mevatel Torah and you're going to be speaking things that, you know, a Jewish mouth should not speak and looking where Jewish eyes should not look. Some of us go to Tashlich and we come back with more averus than we went, right? And we have to go back to Tashlich again. You know? Back to Tashlich and back. So then on my shoulders, don't go to Tashlich, take a toilet bowl place, right? Sit there with a jellyfish, right? Right? And throw them all in, right? You know? So on my shoulders, say Tashlich 50 times in here if you'd like. No problem. Myrna bird. Right. That's, you know, but then there's other parts of the day. There's, you know, the shofar. And I'd like you to be a part of what's going on over here in the shofar. So, Mr. Shem, I'm going to explain it b'kitzer, and then Rabbi Shabbos, he's going to give us a little bit of a demonstration of what we're talking about over here. And who blows the shofar tack over here in the shiva? You blow the shofar? For Rosh Hashanah? Who's going to blow Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Glazer? What? Hey, both the Shaifer.
Hopefully none of us also can have a long davening.
It's going to be a long davening. Did I tell you a story what happened to me? When I came to Eretz Yisrael, my Gidalti Beina Balabatim. Right? I grew up by the Balabatim. I grew up with, you know, Nesach Svard and whatever, you know. I didn't know, my world, there was no Musagim of like Yeshiva Minyanim. I didn't even know it existed before. Right? I came to Eretz Yisrael. They told me beforehand, you know, there's a much longer davening. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a much longer davening than what you're used to, and fine. So here I am, having like the longest davening of my life. It's almost like 1.5 minutes already. And I'm up to Baruch Atah Hashem, Mikadesh, Melech HaKol, you see, not the biggest tzaddik I am, but Melech HaKol Haaretz, no, help me out here. HaMelech HaKol Haaretz, no, Melech HaKol Yisrael. Melech HaKol Haaretz, he just took away half the world from him. There I am, I got the Yom Hazikar. Now, anybody who's Nesach Svard knows what I did. Right? So I went like this. Now, they told me that. Because forever not laughing is because you're from the Nesuch Ashkenaz, from a different country, and you guys think you're supposed to finish Manasseh, but from where I come from, you're not supposed to finish Manasseh. You're supposed to wait there, and then you listen to Shofar, okay? And I'm sitting there like this, all right, looking like I have to go to the bathroom, all right, like this. And then, right, I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm such a big Russia, right? Because I'm looking around, everybody else is still davening. I was like, I don't believe this. What are they saying? I was like, oh my goodness, are they saying those Yiddish words on the bottom? And, all those piyutim and everything, right? And I'm sitting there waiting. I waited 5 minutes, I waited 10 minutes, I waited 15 minutes. And then I see one of the most interesting things I ever see. I see someone backing up. I was like, whoa, what Merdeka Rosh you are. And then I started to hear Chazaras HaShatz, you know. And then I saw that the Rosh Hashiva is also, you know, before the Rosh Hashiva backs up. And then I found out that Nusach Sfar, the way they do it, for all those that don't know, I just saved you a tremendous amount of embarrassment and a waste of time. Right? Nusach Sfar, in Ashkenaz, here they probably daven Ashkenaz, right? So, okay, so don't make it. Why did I tell you that story? You know why I told you that story? Because on Rosh Hashanah, I'm sure your Rebbeim told you already, to you go out of your way that everything should be perfect. You've been told this, right? And I just told you, if you get angry on Rosh Hashanah, then the whole year you'll be angry, right? You know? But you know what? It's a big injustice to tell you that. Because you're probably going to get angry on Rosh Hashanah. And you know what? Probably not every davening is going to be perfect. So you know what you do? You do like what I heard from Moshe Shin Pinkus. He was once, he said, in the Six-Day War, he was in a hospital. And in came a soldier, and the soldier got shot. And they stitched him up, and they were writing a discharge, and discharging from the army. So he said, a discharge from the army? There's a war going on out there. I'm going back. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus, he once said, Rosh Hashanah is a war. Right? There's a war going on all the time against the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Malchus Shemayim. On Rosh Hashanah, we're in the middle of a battle that we're winning. Because on Rosh Hashanah, everyone comes to that Akara of Malchus Shemayim and what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. So you get shot. You got angry at somebody. So now you know what? The next time somebody, you're dining next to the guy who thinks he's the chazin for bells on Yom Kippur, B'Shas Mi'ilo, right? In the middle of the silent Shemana Esrei. You know that guy, right? He davens next to every one of us, right? So the next time you don't get angry at him, so then you were misgaber on your kas. And then the whole year you'll be misgaber on your kas. But Shoshan is not going to be perfect. But you can keep on getting back and keep on battling and keep on trying. So that's, you know, imagine a bachur, he comes there to Israel, and I'm sitting there during Shmoneh Esrei, and so it's like, now I got all famatan and dust, and the rest, I didn't know this. I didn't have a shragi callus back then. And the rest of Rosh Hashanah was like, it didn't work, right? But it doesn't work like that. Rosh Hashanah is a battle, and keep on fighting, and keep on trying, and it's enough gemina for the whole year. Okay, now the God of the Shofar itself. So now, I can tell you a few things. Should we just like, should I give it first? Or should I, as we go along, we'll just, each thing will go a little bit. It's probably better that way. As we go along, we'll stop. So first thing I want to tell you is, in this Beis Medrash, it's a small Beis Medrash. What I mean is it's very enclosed. So you're probably not going to have the problem that I'm talking about. Right? But I'll say it anyways, because it's a good thing to know. Sometimes you dive into a big Beis Medrash, big acoustics. Right? It's very important to know that whatever you're hearing, you have to hear the whole thing. You have to hear the whole tkiah. That means that the size of a tkiah, we'll see in a moment, is not that long. It's not so long, the size of a tkiah, right? But whatever is the tkiah, you have to hear the whole thing from the beginning till the end. Okay? So for example, you'll have a lot of times, which you'll show now, you have a time, Rabbi Shabbos will show you that it starts out like very low. That's a very common thing. It starts out low or it ends up very low. So again, in this Beis Medrash, it's not as negative. Because in this Beis Medrash, even if you're over there and he's over here, you're going to hear it everywhere. But show them like something extremely low, but it's a part of the tkiah. It's a kosher tkiah. A tkiah is kosher as long as it's one solid call, even if it sounds like some dreadful death or whatever. It's one solid call. So give them an example of this.
I don't know.
Because there is air in the middle. $5.
You can't do it.
So you get at the end of that little at the end. Go down. No, give me like a the end. No, that's a good one. That's good. That's a good example. No, you guys think, I know what you think. You think, let him just take it out already, right? When he's doing that. But it doesn't work like that. You never blew Shofar, okay? Right? You know, so when he does that, I'll explain it to you. Sometimes I see you guys playing basketball on Mr. Chavez, you know? You ever see, right? And I think to myself, why is he taking that shot? Okay? And everyone else on the team is also thinking this. Right? And myself, right? Because I can't explain, but when you're there, and it's there, and you see the basket, and that, you know, even though, you know, it wound up on Kvish Echad. Right? No, I don't mean this one over here. I mean Kvish Echad by the Tel Aviv, by that highway over there. Right? But you understand what I'm saying? So it's the same thing. When he's in the shwung of the Shofar, so that at the end, you heard that at the end, you could miss that. Even in this room, you could miss that little bit. Right? You got what I'm saying. Give them like a start out one that's bad. You have to hear the whole call. So give them start it out bad. Because that happens a lot. Not him. He's great. No, start it out the way I would start. No, like really. No, that's like, you know. That sounds like the bathroom. No, give me like that. No, but you all see what I'm saying. In this room, you're not going to feel it as much, right? But you do realize in a big shul, everyone in Chatz I'm talking about, in a big shul, this definitely could happen. Right? Sorry? Yeah, give me like a shvach ma'aseh. Now, you should know, that coil was in Gantz and Shofar, dreadfully ugly, right? It was like an Esther Yichleis with Halavaya pit that was got like a pick and sticking out over here, and the garden was like four pit. But it was a coil, it works, as long as it's one solid coil. In Brisk, there might be Machmir on these coils, right? But as long as it's a solid coil that continues throughout, then that's a kosher coil. Okay? So we're good? You can't give me one like Shvach when we're like I would do, you know?
Just give it to one of the guys.
There you go. You know those guys? Like I said. Yeah, right. It does the whole thing, right? I don't know why it's not working. Okay, I'll try to do it schwach just to show you. This is very hard for me, obviously. No, I don't want that one. Not 1 minute. No, see, he comes out. Such a good cult, such a good check. No, this one's even better, this one, no?
It's a big mouth.
It's a big mouth, huh? I'm trying to get it that do the it. Last call they can't hear.
Just demonstrate it. Okay? Show me
what. What I'm trying to do is this. I need the last bit. Did you have to hear that? You have them doing now? Or in the beginning? Okay, not bad. Now the last breath is just breath. Okay, that's number one. Okay, we're good. Okay. Now, but you understand what I'm saying? It's kedai to tell the parents and friends and other loved ones and livestock. And you know what I'm saying? Because no, you know what I'm saying? In a big shul. Okay. Now let me tell. What? No, we try to keep this private. Okay. Complaints or whatever. Right. So, let's go weiter. Now, we learn out the koilis from the mother of Sisro. Right? Now, you guys don't learn Tanakh, so you don't know who that is. Right? No, Tanakh is... I don't mean the New Testament. I mean the old one. If you ever find... Right? Tanakh is the sefer after Chumash.
Okay? The Green Monster.
Yeah, okay. Now, if you find another sefer after that, burn it. Right, but understand what I'm saying? No, good. So there's a book called Nach. In that book, there's someone called Sisra. Where was Sisra? He was in Shaifton. Thank you very much. I see that you did the Aveira of learning Nach. Right? And so in this book called Shaifton, he was one of the Malchei Yisrael, or generals. And he was a very big Rasha, right? This Sisra, the sissy character. This guy, he was went to war against the whole Klal Yisrael. He was supposed to come back and have destroyed the whole Klal Yisrael. And his mother, Aim Sisra, it says that she stood by the window. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah brings this. I don't know Nach, but the Gemara Rosh Hashanah brings the Pasuk. That she stood by the window and she started to have like tears come down her eyes, right? And she let out like a cry. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is Aim Sisra Meyavim or something. What's the Lashon? Yavam or Yavavam? Yav. So over there, the Targum, when it says in the Pasuk, it says you have to have a Yom Trua. Yetrua means a yevava. So we need to figure out what a yevava is. Okay? Whatever a yevava is, listen closely, Kindle. Whatever a yevava is, I can know whatever Sisra's mother did, that's a yevava, and that's what I need at the shofar. Okay? So now, watch. Every trua, or every yevava, the rule is, because of the psukim, it gets a tkiah before and a tkiah after. So tkiah, trua, tkiah. What is the yevava? So that's a fight. What exactly Sisra's mother did? Some say she cried like this. Okay? Some say it's a real machlekes, right? Some say she cried like this. Okay? Now, last night, one of my daughters was not going to bed on time. Right? And, you know, so we did that, like, parental thing. We just, like, put her in the bed and, you know, tied her up. Mama, she can't show this to anybody. Right? Right? You know, whatever. With love, with shackles of love and whatever. So when she was crying, it sounded something like this. Right? Okay? So now you have all of the kailas. We don't know exactly what the mother of Sisra, how she cried, this Arab, right? Did she cry, and that's what we call a shvarim, is he a vava shvarim? Or did she cry a trua, what we call a trua? The word in the pasuk is trua, but maybe a trua is a shvarim. So did she cry, like that? Or maybe she cried together, right? The shvarim trua. Okay? That's it. Now you have a tkiah before, tkiah after it. That's the whole machlekes. Why we do 9 is because it says 3 times in the pasuk trua. So you need three truas. Each trua gets a tkia before and a tkia after. How many kailas is that?
Nine.
Very good. Or not nine, right? Because if it's going to be a shvarim trua, right? So then it'll be 12 or whatever. So therefore, miyikra did min atayra yoytze. If you have any nine kailas, because we're not, it's a machlaikis and it's a suffix and whatever, we try to get 30 because maybe the ikashit is shvarim, maybe the ikashit is trua, maybe the ikashit is shvarim trua. That's what's going on here. Now, what I want to tell you is two things that we need Rabbi Shabbos to demonstrate for us. And one is that, again, you know, like I said, called Gam Magidalti Ben Balabatim. And where I grew up in America, the way a Shvarim sounded was something like this. Well, Tkiya, tu. Shvarim is tu, tu, tu. Tkiya, tu, right? And Trua is tu, 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 tu. Very simple. In Eretz Yisrael, whoever has not been here before is about to, not Eretz Yisrael, but in the Yeshivas, you're about to hear a whole different Shvarim. It makes a little bit sense like them. Because a Shvarim, Behemis, if you think about it, he's like, it's like a Shever of what? It's a Shever, we in America, I guess we'll call it, right? We thought a Shever is a partial Tkiya. But maybe a Shvarim is not a partial Tkiya. Maybe a Shvarim is a Shever. It's broken. So in Eretz Yisrael, they do what's called a Rutu. A Rutu. A Rutu. Now you'll hear this from Rabbi Shabbos first, right? Demonstrate, you know. Demonstrate America.
Huh?
Okay, now, another very important thing. Yeah, so that's one more thing I want to show you. Is that when you in Bnei Brak, when they do a Shvarim Trua, they hold that Sisra's mother, she cried like this, right? She cried right into the cry. You're not used to hearing that. In America, for example, they don't do it like that. And in Yerushalayim, they don't do it like that. In Yerushalayim, they'll do a Shvarim Trua as more of a, or Rutu Rutu, whatever, which one it is. And not that it goes right into the trua. There's like epis a stop. And I'm going to show you all this now. We'll do this with Neshima Echas. So Neshima Echas, it's like this. There's a different way that we could do a Shvarim trua, even if you're not going in the Bnei Brak Musagim, you know, right into it. There's another way that we could do it, that we do a Shvarim trua with a breath in between. Or we could do a Shvarim Trua without a breath in between. That's what you'd like to show them now?
And when the Makri calls it out.
So when I call it out, tell them I want to.
And when the Makri, when he's going to call out the Shvarim Trua, sometimes you could hear if he says Shvarim Trua.
Or am I saying Shvarim Trua?
And there's some
so
people,
what did I just show you? Then it's going to be.
A break.
Or I could do Shvarim Trua, right? Or if I'm in Bnei Brak, it's like this Shtrua.
And then there's some people that. That they want to be a little bit more dramatic, they go Shvarim Trua.
Ah, they mamash breathe. So the next time if you see the Maki going like this, Shvarim, or, you know, Shvarim, you know. Agav, that call is not good for. Okay, you ready? First we'll do it. Now Agav, the tkia. So kafi the length of the tkia. All right, kafi the length of the tkia is how long I want my Shvarim to at least be. Right.
The tkiya has to be at least
as long as
the middle part.
Let's show them first. Let's show them. Okay. Let's say tkiya. How long was that? We didn't time. And time is very precious.
2.79.
Derek Hagat. If there's a mess up sometimes, right? So now sometimes. If I clap twice, what does that mean? It means I want him to start over again. Why? Because let's say he does a tkiya, do me a tkiya, and then mess up on the shvarim. A quick tkiya, okay? Tkiya. Okay, now do a shvarim, and in the middle of the shvarim, mess up. I know it's hard for you, but mess up, right? But mess up in a way where it might sound like a tkiya. Okay? Okay. Shvarim. So now, I have a problem here. Because my shvarim sounded like a tkiya. It's too long of a shvarim. Now, what am I going to do? If I clap twice, what I want? I want to start the set over. Because I want to make sure before my shvarim, I don't want to do now a shvarim. Why? Because then I have tkiya, tkiya, shvarim, tkiya. That's not a good set. I want to have a tkiya, shvarim, tkiya. So I'm going to start this over again. Everybody understand? Okay, so let's do a regular tkiya. Tkiya! Sh- Shvarim. Tzkiya. See, everybody's equal. You can make the tzkiya longer, right? But it has to be at least as long as our shvarim. Now give them, let's do the shvarim truas. Let's go right into the shvarim truas. But give them first, let's give them the chazanish first so that they understand why it's different, right? Tzkiya. Shvarim trua. Bit more, no? Bit more? Yeah. Mm. Now do it the regular way so that they have the difference.
No.
5 yards. Yeah. Now give me the regular way of a shvarim trua.
Our way.
He's doing the sorry.
Okay. American. Regular. Yeah.
No, not American.
I thought I meant regular as Yushalayim as opposed to Abra. Yeah.
Give me the pshutim. Did you see there was in the middle there was a break? Now do shvarim straight into a true of the chazanish without a break. Now do shvarim with the rutus with a break. You need a little more of a give me a neshima. So give me shtei neshimas. Present B'nei Brak, Shvarim, from Drew. Goes right in.
It could be a little more.
Yeah, it could be a little more, right? I don't want to say it, but it could. Okay, now give me a. Huh? I think you need more, no? You don't blow the chazanishes,
we'll
right?
No, we'll do it with the tkiya.
Okay, tkiya! Shvarim, Drew, chazanish. It goes right in. Now, it's late. I never go over time. Rashi. I want to tell you one story. What?
Rashi, said again.
So there are shitas, Rabbi Isa. I don't know how they do it. Are they, after davening, they give you all the shitas?
Yeah.
Rashi's shita is...
They do it after.
Rashi's shita is that the size of the shvarim is what we really have as truas. Right? And the tkiya is really the size of our shvarim. So let's just do one set of a Rashi. That was tkiya, shvarim, it was a trua. Right, so again, one more. Tkiya, shvarim, tkiya, tkiya, trua, tkiya, tkiya, shvarim trua. Now wait, why am I clapping twice?
He has to restart.
Because now, if he's not going to restart, so then I have tkiya, Epis, and then something. So I don't have a tkiya, but a shvarim trua. Tkiya. Shvarim trua. Tkiya. Now there's one more thing. Rav Sajikain, he writes, what's a trua? He doesn't write. Rav Sajikain, they have a picture from Rav Sajikain of what's a trua. Okay, and he's fired him over here. There's a picture in Rav Sajikain, and he writes like this. It's a picture of a straight line. Then there's a picture of a squiggly line. Okay? And then there's a picture of a straight line. So they take on, what does it mean? Their Sajjagoin understood that a trua is not like the way we do a trua. That a trua is not connected sounds, but that it's a squiggly line. So, two of Sajjagoin's trua. That's where Sajjagoin's tkiya. That's a trua. Do they actually do that? That's fine. That's how they do the trua.
It's a little right? bit lighter. They do a little bit lighter.
Let's hear. That's too much tkiya sounding. Yeah? I'd be very scared.
Very small.
Yeah, it's very small.
They do that for tkiya
gedola. True gedola. They do like a true gedola. No, it's no joke. No, I'll tell you when to laugh. There is something called a true gedola. What?
They do a true.
Let me finish up. I want to tell you one last thing. Why do we learn all the halachas from the aim of Sisera? Such a dreadful Rishanta. And you know what else we learn? We do 100 koilis at the end. We blow 100 times. You know why we blow 100 times? You know, I mean, all together, we blow 100 times. Why? We only need 30 could be what you heard. Why do we blow 100 times? Because Aim Sisra cried 100 times. We can't pat it from the shiksa. Like, Epis, we learn out the koilis from her. We learn out such a halakha moment, and we learned out the amount of koilis from her. Why? The answer is Pashit. Because she was standing by the window, and she knew that this was either going to be the greatest day of her life, that her son is going to come back victorious, having fought and beat all of Klal Yisrael, and with all that wealth, or he's not coming back. And that is the hergish that a person has to have during Rosh Hashanah. The only difference is that by her, when she was standing by the window, it was because he was going to go against Ratzon Hashem. But when you're going on Rosh Hashanah to go with Ratzon Hashem, and you understand the severity of the day, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bench you with a ksiv v'chsim a tayv and a good bench to yom.